Well, Happy New Year, Lakeside. Happy New Year. Wow, another year gone, another year here, right? Crazy. I can't think of a better way to spend New Year's Day, though, than worshiping our great God together, amen? Wow, praise God. I was standing up here listening to you sing, and you all sing good. I've said that lots of times, but just so, so thankful. Hey, we are going back into our study of the Gospel of John, good news in a bad news world, and I have some great news for you today. We're going to finish this series, Lord willing, by summertime. So we're looking forward to that. So just want to let you know that. But we're celebrating New Year today by getting back into our study of the Gospel of John, and Lord willing, we'll finish this by summer. But so far in John chapter 15, I just want to tell you where we've been. We have been, and we have seen in John 15, the believer's relationship to Jesus, the believer's relationship to other believers, and today we're going to focus on the believer's relationship to the world. And so I'd invite you to take your Bibles, open them up to John 15 once you put your eyes on it for yourself. Take out an insert from the bulletin if you don't have your Bible with you this morning. It's in there as well, or if you have a device, and we're going to read together John chapter 15, verses 18 through 25 is where we're going to start this morning. So verse 18. It says this: if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you: a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled: they hated me without a cause. This is the word of the Lord. And as I said, we're going to go back into John 15, back into this, our series in John. And let me just remind you where we are in the life of Jesus up to this point. Where we are is that Jesus has been talking to his disciples as they are on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. It is the night before Jesus is to go to the cross. Judas has gone off to betray Jesus. And as Jesus is walking with the disciples to the garden, he has been talking to them so far about a message that has been one of great news, such as, abide in me and I will abide in you, and I will bear fruit in you through my Spirit. And other good news, that the disciples were going to love one another as Christ has loved them. So a lot of love, a lot of good news, and then all of a sudden we come to the passage before us today, and Jesus turns the conversation and goes to this word, hate. And so today we are going to look at some good news that is in disguise in this text before us. So let's pray before we dive into the text this morning. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to be here today to worship you, Lord. We don't take that for granted. And Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to open up your word and to share your word and share how you've used it in my heart, Lord. God, I am unworthy to stand before people and proclaim your word. God, I desperately need you through your Holy Spirit to guide the words and let your words only come out today. And Lord, I pray as your words come out only, Lord, that they would work in my heart and change me. And then they would change every person in this room, that you would do the work that only you can do to do that, Lord. And if there's one in this room who's never fully surrendered their life to you, Lord, I pray today on this New Year's Day that they would go from life or from death to life, God, and that you would do that work. Lord, we're going to look forward to what you're going to teach us during this time and how you're going to change us, God. We love you today, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at today some good news in disguise, because it's kind of the whole passage here as Jesus is talking to disciples. He's talking about the world's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you, which doesn't sound like great news. But it is good news in disguise. And so as we go through this and look at good news in disguise, this is how we've kind of structured this. We're going to look at one revelation today, one revelation that Jesus gives to his disciples. Then we're going to look at four reasons for that revelation. And then we're going to look at two responses to that revelation. Okay, so one revelation, four reasons for the revelation, and two responses to the revelation. We can do this, trust me, all right? So here we go. One revelation, this is found right away in verses 18 through 19. As I read it, he just says plainly, if the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it's hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying, if, and not just if, trust me, it will, the world will hate you, but know that it's hated me first. Know that it's hated me first. That's the one revelation that Jesus was giving his disciples and he's giving us today, is that this world will hate you, believer, because it's hated Jesus first. Now, there's two words I want to break down for you, and that's the first one is the world. What is Jesus talking about when he says the world? Well, the word world means, is a longer definition, but here you go. It's the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which although frail and fleeting, what those things do then, they stir desire, they seduce from God, and they're obstacles to the cause of Christ. Okay, I know that's a lot and you gotta digest it. So I'm gonna read it one more time and break it down a little bit. So the world, all that's out there, the world system is a system of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures. Now in and of themselves, they're not necessarily bad. But because they're underneath this world system and the leader and the ruler of this world, Satan, they are designed, though they're frail and fleeting, they're designed to stir desire, to seduce from God, and they're obstacles to the cause of Christ. John later on in 1 John will say, hey, all that's in the world, let me just break it down for you, that's all that's in the world. In 1 John 2:15 says, all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all that's in the world. And all those things work together to seduce us from God and are obstacles to the cause of Christ, to the gospel. So that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, the world's going to hate you. The world is after you. And that's my next leads into the word hate. This word hate's interesting. It means to detest, but not only that, to pursue after. And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's not one of those things, well, no, I'm just gonna be standoffish, I'm just gonna hate you and stay away from you. No, it's I'm gonna hate you so much that I'm gonna pursue after you to destroy you, to bring you down with me. To make sure that you have nothing to do with God who wants a relationship with you, but I'm gonna make sure you won't have that relationship. I'm gonna make sure you don't understand Jesus. I'm gonna draw you away and pursue after you to make sure that doesn't happen, because that's the key to eternal life. That's the world that's out there, everybody. That's what we have to deal with every day of our lives. And so Jesus says this revelation, the world, believer, is going to hate you. The world is going to hate you. And then Jesus gives four reasons for this revelation. The first one that he gives us is this. First one he gives us is Jesus has chosen us out of the world. He says that right in verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world's going to hate you. You know, later on, as we get into this passage and a few more weeks down the road, we'll be in John 17 where Jesus is praying for his disciples. And he says to God as he's praying, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So those of us who have fully surrendered our lives to Christ as Lord and Savior from our sins, we are no longer of the world, but we are in the world. No longer of it, but in it. And all of a sudden, instead of going with the flow of the world, we're going against it. Look at verse 19 again, what it says. It says, if you were of the world would love you. The world would have a natural affection for you, and you would have a natural affection for the world. But for believers, genuine believers of Jesus Christ, no, we don't have a natural affection for the world, and the world doesn't have a natural affection for us. We are aliens, the Bible talks about, and we will refuse in the name of Jesus Christ to integrate to this, as one author says, we will fail to integrate to this fallen and failing system of unregenerate people ruled by Satan. But what that means for believers, genuine believers who have fully surrendered their life to Christ, is that we should feel the heaviness of the world. We should constantly be feeling the rub, the friction of the world as we travel upstream. Let me give you an example of how this happens. My wife and I, before Christmas, were out and about, and we heard somebody take the Lord's name in vain, take Jesus's name in vain. And my ear perked up and it hurt. And my wife said, well, he is the reason for the season. And after I thought about that for a little bit, I thought, you know what I need to say to people is say, oh, you know him too? I know him, let me share this with you. You know, I'm just gonna say that that's just an example of how that heaviness of the world weighs down on us is when someone takes my Lord's name in vain. You can take anybody else's name in vain. Newman, okay, I'm fine with that. I'll give you a name to use. Don't use Jesus's though. It weighs down on me as a believer that they would do that to my precious Savior. I think of this though, the heaviness of the world in this way. The heaviness of my own sin. I know Jesus is my Savior, and praise God, he takes my sin, and when I sin, he's able to forgive me, and he's faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness again. But the heaviness of my own sin gets to me. In the middle of the night, I'll wake up, have a bad thought, and I'll be like, oh man, I'm just a sinner. Going along throughout my day, and I'll respond in a wrong way. Oh, sinner! And I find myself crying out like the psalmist cries out, my sin is always before me, God. And I feel the heaviness of it. And we should feel that heaviness as believers. In fact, there's a show out there. It's the biggest, largest crowdfunded show that's out there that's ever been produced. And it's called The Chosen. And they use this graphic. And I love this graphic because they have all these gray fishes swimming around one way. That's the world. And then there's 13 fishes in there representing Jesus and his disciples and those who believe. And they're swimming the opposite way, which they're constantly feeling the rub and constantly going the wrong way, so to speak. And that's our lives as believers right there. Let me just say this. I'll say this later on too, but let me just say it here because it fits really well. And that is, if you don't feel this rub, if you don't feel the heaviness of this world, you need to take some time before God and really check yourself and make sure you're a genuine believer. Because if you don't feel the rub, you don't feel the heaviness of sin in this world, the world has an affection for you and you have an affection for it, and you probably aren't a genuine believer. And we'd love to share that with you, but I'll get on to that later on. The good news in disguise, believers, is this. One author said about this statement that the world's gonna hate you. He said, what that means for believers is that we are most loved by God, amen? And we are most hated by Satan. And guess what? I've read the back of the book, the Bible, I've read the back, and I know the believers, because of Jesus, win. And to be most loved by God is what you want. And to be most hated by Satan, that's what you want as well. Because the joy that's coming your way is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So Jesus has chosen us out of this world. The second one is this, is Jesus is our master. And this one's really just straightforward. He only spends one little quick sentence on it. In verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, your master, they're gonna persecute you. Simple as that. You and I, as servants of Jesus, can't expect better treatment than what Jesus was given by the world. We can only expect the same treatment, which is persecution and ultimately crucifixion and total rejection. So it goes without saying, I don't need to say much more, because Jesus is our master, we're gonna be hated. He experienced it, we're gonna experience it. And the good news here in disguise that we might overlook is that, believer, Jesus is our master, not this world. Not the world, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is our master. He's the one that controls us. He's the one that we surrender to and is allowed to work in us and change us. And how he does this work is that he uses suffering a lot of times in our lives. I was just talking to a gentleman in our church. I was in the hospital. Lord willing, he's out now, and God's working in his life. And as I talked to him, a verse came to mind, a passage of scripture in 1 Peter 1, where Peter's talking about how God redeems suffering. And he uses it to make believers more like Jesus. And if necessary, suffering has to come. Well, it's necessary. I'm not like Jesus. I won't be until I'm in heaven. I continue need that work. And so Jesus, because he's master, takes suffering, which the world looks at, oh, you don't want suffering in your life. And he says, no, I'm redeeming that. I'm not gonna waste that suffering. I'm gonna make it worth so much more. I'm gonna make it worth everything to make you more like me. That's what our master does. Jesus is our master. That's another reason why he says the world's gonna hate you. The next reason for the revelation is this one, is that Jesus has opened our hearts as believers to know God. Look at verse 21 with me. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. The world doesn't know him. That's why the world just flippantly rattles off his name as a curse word. Because the world doesn't know him. They do not have intimate heart knowledge of him that leads them to honor God. Jesus came to them, and as we get in this next passage in verse 22, he goes on, he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Okay, so what is he talking about here? Because Jesus came to them as fully God in flesh to speak to them the words of God and to work the works of God is what verse 24 says. He says, if I have not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. So he's come and speak to the words of God and to do the works of God. Well, the words, if you take Jesus' teaching and the words that he said most of the time, and he was trying to get across to the Pharisees and those of the world who would reject him, were these words: you're not good enough in your own righteousness. That's what he said constantly as he dealt with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. You're not good enough. Your righteousness isn't good enough to gain heaven, to gain favor with God. And then he says, only my righteousness is good enough for you to gain favor with God. Only my righteousness. And the works then backed up the words that he said by showing that he was God and he had the authority to call self-righteousness sin. He had all authority. And it's interesting, John uses the word sin in here. Did you see it? If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. Wait a second. I know the Bible says all of sin falls short of the glory of God. Because all of sin, nobody can go to heaven. I've seen the wages of sin is death, which the wages of sin is death, meaning death physically and death spiritually, which meaning eternity separated from God in a place called hell. So Jesus isn't talking about here just this general sin. It can't be, because scripture says those things in other places, that sin, we've all sinned, fall short of glory of God, and there's wages of sin is death. And it ultimately says, and we're without excuse when it comes to our sin. The sin that Jesus is talking about here, it's the apex of sin, which is the rejection of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life to God the Father. That's what he's saying. He came and he exposed the self-righteousness that could never earn, never ever earn favor with God. And as he exposed that, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the righteous one. I'm God himself in flesh, and I'm gonna pay the price for your sin on the cross. And that's the good news in this one. The good news in this one is that if you're a believer, if you have fully surrendered your life to Christ, is that through his son coming to earth and by the working of the Holy Spirit with the word of God, he's opened our hearts to truly know him and him alone. We're no longer lost in our sins. We're no longer dead in our sins and in our self-righteousness, but we are alive in Christ's righteousness by faith. Because only perfect people, right? Those of you in Starting Point or have taken Starting Point, only perfect people can live in the presence of a perfect God. So by faith, he gives us, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, his righteousness is our righteousness. Therefore, we can go and be with God. So thankful for that today. And then, believer, we can, once he opens our hearts to know him, then we can spend a lifetime in his word. A lifetime in his word, learning more and more about him, being revealed through the Holy Spirit, things that we've never seen about Jesus, something new every day, something fresh every day, who Jesus is and how, and our depth of our knowledge of him goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And believers, we have a way for you this year. It's a new year today. We have Bible reading plans are out there. You don't have to use these ones, but we have two of them out there, the E100 and the McChaney plan, which is the McChaney plan is start, you're reading Old Testament and New Testament every day. The bottom line is we want you to take those reading plans, use those, but we also want you to just find a reading plan. Get in the word, please. Because that's where he reveals himself to us more and more, and we get to know him more, believers. And then the last reason for the revelation is this. The last reason is that Jesus is fulfillment of prophecy. Look at the last verse, verse 25. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. And this quote comes from Psalm 35, 19 and Psalm 69, 4. They hated me without a cause. So this was a direct fulfillment to promises of God. Believer, that's great news. The world hates us because Jesus said it was going to happen and it did happen. Which means if that promise is true, every other promise is true that God's given us. And look at this passage. Get your eyes on it yourself right here. Look up at verse 17 right before the passage. We have a great promise. Right there in verse 17, he said to these disciples, these things I command you so that you will love one another. I promise you will love one another. Believers, that's a great promise. Believers, you're going to love one another. You're going to have a natural affection to each other. You might come from different walks of life, but guess what? Because of Jesus, you're going to love one another. And you need to love one another because the world's going to hate you. And they're going to be after you. And you're going to encourage one another. And you're going to pick up one another as you fall. He's given that promise. These things I command you so that you will love one another. And then look at the promise right after this passage. So 18:25 is our text today. Look right at verse 26. But when the helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. He says, I'm not only going to have you love one another, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's going to come and comfort your heart. He's going to convict you of sin so you stay running after me and pursuing me and not what the world has to offer. And I'm going to, and the Holy Spirit's going to lift you up when you're down and encourage your heart so you don't run faint-hearted. Those are two great promises, and because the world hates me, and God promised that, and I feel that, and I sense that, it's also a promise, and it's also absolutely right, and it's happening, that believers are going to love me, and the Holy Spirit's in me, and encouraging me. Are you thankful for that today, believers? Amen. Amen. You know, you look at this passage, and at the first you say, if the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it's hated you. And you're thinking of the disciples, and you're like, what? The world's going to hate me? No, I'm not. I don't know if I'm signed up for that. But when you read the rest of the words of Jesus, you're like, all right, yes. And that's hard for me to say. But with all those promises and all the good news that goes along with it, yes. Well, we've looked at the revelation that the world is going to hate you, believer. And we looked at the four reasons for the revelation. And now we come to two responses to the revelation. Two responses to the revelation. And I want to preface this section, these two responses, by reading, going back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus at night, and he shares in John chapter 3, verse 36. Oh, he's not with Nicodemus here. Sorry, excuse me. He's in verse 36. And he says this. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, which I would say obedience is a fruit of belief. And so whoever's disobeying doesn't believe. So I'd say unbeliever. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. So in that passage, as Jesus says this, there's really only two kinds of people in this world. This world is made up of two kinds of people, and that's it. Unbelievers and believers in Jesus. That's it. And so two responses. The first one is this. As an unbeliever, because in a group this size, I know that there's two types of people in this world right in this room right now. There's unbelievers and believers. So I'm talking to the unbeliever in this room right now. the unbeliever in this room, this may have been today, as you've come in here, this may have been the first time that you've ever heard that we are all sinners. And because we're all sinners, all be because we've missed the mark that God laid out for us, that we can't be holy and be righteous like he is, because of that, we face death physically and then a separation from God for all eternity in hell. And maybe that's the first time you heard that today. Well, let me tell you, the free gift of God, just like you received a gift possibly at Christmas time, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I would ask you, if this is the first time you've heard this before, this is the first time you've heard it, I would say to you right now, where you are sitting, while I'm talking, I'm fine with that, while I'm talking, pray out to God and just admit to him that you're a sinner. And ask God to forgive you by the blood of Jesus, which paid the debt in full, and then receive eternal life today. It's that simple. But the group of people I'm more concerned about today in this room, and all over this world, meeting in churches even today, the group of people I'm most concerned about is those of you who have been coming to Lakeside for months, possibly years, and you're really on the outside yet looking in. You know, the music makes you feel good. You like it. Music makes you feel good. The love that you experience here, the friendliness you experience here makes you feel good, and you leave this place going into your week, I feel good now. I needed that recharge. But when it comes to the world, it has a natural affection for you, and you have a natural affection back to the world, and you know it. You don't feel the friction of going in a direction that opposes the world. And let me tell you this, because we love you, because Pastor Trevor, Pastor Tony, Pastor Dave, and I have given our lives to make sure everyone in this room and everyone we come in contact with knows Jesus as their Savior, I have to say to you today, who just come to church because it's what you do and it makes you feel good going into the week, I have to say to you today, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin today. You might be very well alive as you're going out the door, but spiritualized, and God sees you as a dead man walking or dead woman walking. But God, just saying it, rich in mercy, because of his great love for you, desires to take your sins away today and rescue you today. And that's my prayer. That's Trevor's prayer. That's Pastor Dave, Pastor Trevor, Pastor Tony's prayer. Our prayer is that those of you who have been in this room, who have been coming to Lakeside for months, and you're looking from the outside in, you're like, wow, this is cool. They're friendly. The music's good. I love this church. Our dream, our New Year's Day, what we want most today is for you to be saved from your sins and become part of the family of God. One of my daughters, when she was like 3 years old, so I won't tell you who she was, but one of my daughters, when she was like 3 years old, it was New Year. And here's what she said, because we're trying to teach her, say Happy New Year. She couldn't quite say it. She'd say, Happy New You. Happy New You. Today can be a Happy New You. And I will tell you, nothing would excite me more going into this new year than people who have been coming here for months and years saying, I need Jesus as my Savior from my sins. I need him to save me from my sins. What's holding you back today from fully surrendering your life to Christ as Savior and Lord? What's holding you back? Because the way this world works, and I know I'm going over, I'm sorry, but the way this world works is you can leave this place, you can go out those doors, and that conviction that you have right now, and that desire that is starting to burn in your heart that you need a savior from your sins, you can go out those doors, and because of the world system, because the one who's in charge of the world system, Satan, you can go out those doors and forget all about it. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Please make this a happy new you. Please. All right, as a believer then. So as an unbeliever, stop being deceived and be rescued by surrendering your life to Christ as Savior and Lord. And then as a believer, you know, people will say, what are we supposed to do? Look at the persecution that's happened all over this world. What are we supposed to do? Expect it. Expect it. Because Jesus said it's going to happen. And I know this isn't great news, but it's going to get worse. Believer, but God, rich in mercy, will be faithful. And he will keep you, believer, in his hand. And no one, not even this world, not even the persecution, will be able to snatch you from his hand. Expect the hatred of the world, and then faithfully just pursue Christ above all else. I know all of you, you have careers, you have life, you have kids possibly, you have all these things in this world. Above all that, pursue Christ this year, above it all. What's your response going to be today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for his hard words that have great news embedded in them. Thank you that he can tell us that the world is going to hate us as believers. And that's not easy to hear. That means we're not going to be comfortable in this world. But God, it's good news because this world is not my home. I look by faith to a kingdom yet to come. And that's your kingdom, Jesus. So Lord, right now I pray for the one or many in this room that have never fully surrendered life to Christ, that they've never seen Jesus as their Lord and Savior from their sins. God, I pray you would not let them leave this place without making that decision today, Lord. And then those of us who know you, God, make this year a year where we pursue you even more in your word by digging deep into it and by allowing you to work through the suffering that's going to come our way and allow you to make us more like your son, Jesus, all the way and allow you to use us to bring others to yourself. We love you so much today, God. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.